Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure, in the absence of Neil, to extend a very warm welcome to you all, especially those who are visiting with us. And I know there is a number of visiting with us this morning. And we just pray that you may feel God's presence with us this morning as we all come to join and worship him in a very powerful way this morning. If you're a holiday in the area, we trust that you enjoy the Irish Peninsula and all that it has to offer you. Although the weather isn't all that great this morning, but sometimes we do have sunshine, and that is great brightness. Hope everybody's got their announcement sheet for the month of July. The only thing to highlight is the Holiday Bible Club starting on the 8th of August. So if you keep that in your prayers. Also, if you're planning to send your children to the Holiday Bible Club, the consent forms are available now in Noel's shop or else in the vestibule or in the welcome area. And it would speed things up if you'd take them now and fill them in for that evening. So I think that's all the announcements I have, except I would just like to welcome back. I know the half the Croatia team came back last Sunday, and there's a few back, and Norm and Julie and Ben and Zara is back today. And I know Barbara and Mark and Aaron travels back tomorrow. So we just pray that we give them thanks for the safe keeping and safe travel. And we just pray for Mark and family as they travel back tomorrow. And also, we'd just like to welcome Laura back from Italy. And there's other ones that has been outreach over the last month. Where were you in India? What did I say?
Italy.
Ah, well, the little sister was in Italy. But anyway, we'll hear of all that in due course in September. And also, just like to welcome back a person that hasn't been with us for maybe 10 weeks, and that's Walker. Do you know if anybody's a bit skeptical about the power of prayer, that's your answer. Welcome, Walker. This morning also is the very first time that, you know, it's great to welcome somebody new into the pulpit. And I suppose this morning is somebody new, but somebody old. Normally he's sitting down there, and I suppose this morning he's got promoted. He's up in the pulpit this morning. And that is Scott. And as we're saying in the session room, you know, there is firsts in people's lives. And this is a first in Scott's life because he has never conducted a service before or led a service. So this will never happen again in Scott's life, because this is a first. And it is absolutely a delight for me to welcome him into the pulpit. You know, Scott is doing a theological study in college. And, you know, he's just seeking God's journey in his life. And this is part of his life this morning, the start of his life this morning, coming into the pulpit. So Scott, a very, very warm welcome. Stand up. I must say, you know, I'm 6'3". And anybody that's out there, strangest feeling that, you know, I get the strangest feeling when I have to look up to somebody. And it is the strangest feeling. And Scott is maybe just one of few people that I have to look up to. But it is great. So, very welcome, Scott. And I think it's only appropriate that we pray for Scott this morning for, you know, coming into his own congregation for the very, very first time to take a service is a daunting thing, but hopefully he feels the warmth of his church family as he leads your service this morning. So let us pray. Lord, we do thank you that we can journey with you in all circumstances. And Lord, this morning that we just give you thanks for Scott, the way that he has journeyed with you throughout his life, the way that you are leading and guiding him, protecting them and guarding them. And Lord, we pray for a real sense of peace to surround him this morning as he conducts our service. Lord, the words that he may speak, they are not his words, but your words. We just pray that a real blessing be upon him. And Lord, we just pray that you may protect him, and as he journeys with you, not only this morning, but in the days and the years that lie ahead. So Lord, we just pray a real blessing upon him. And we ask for your protection. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Thank you for having me. You just didn't really have a say in the matter. Neil volunteered me. I didn't even have a say, so I'm here. First of all, I'd like to apologize. And first, I'd actually say thank you. Thank you to Gary for coming today, coming to support me. And I know every time Gary comes, he brings the blazing sun of Ballymena. And the day I come to preach, this happens. So I'm taking that as a sign. Nope, it's great to be standing here. Such a great opportunity. It's funny to be able to stand here and see everyone's faces. Now I understand why Neil likes to go on a lot of holidays, because there's some faces up there, and I'm looking at Davey up there. There's some faces. And also a thank you again for, it's great to see Walker here. It really is. It's a great encouragement to see him, and as George said, that is prayer right there. To see people praying for George, see people praying for Walker, and to see him here now, walking in. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Now, we're here for many reasons, but the main reason is to worship God. That's the only reason. In Isaiah 40:28, it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weak or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." This is who we're here to worship. That God who does not get tired, that God who is not weary, he is all-powerful. We're here to praise him. That God who loves his children, who sent his son to die on the cross for each and every single one of us today. Let's all begin and stand as we sing Strength Will Rise. Let us close our eyes and pray. Lord God, you are the everlasting God, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your love. Love for each and every single one of us right now, Lord. Lord, I pray for a blessing on this church. I pray that the Holy Spirit will sweep through us today. As we're here to hear your word. As we're here to worship you, Lord. I just ask that your power comes through and that everyone feels your presence, Lord. We thank you for such opportunities to meet in the morning and to praise together as one family, Lord. And may this be the locker room talk before the big game during the week, Lord, as we head out from here to build your kingdom, to do your will, Lord. We thank you for every opportunity you've given us and every person that crosses our paths, that each person we meet, we proclaim the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Let us all stand and sing "Odyssey of the Dawn."
To see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This the cross of the cross.
We're going to do our reading now. So if everyone could open their Bible to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, page 987. Now, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which one?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or children, or fields, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But who many are the first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your great word. And Lord, we thank you for this passage and all the passages that we're able to read, Lord. So just ask that these words will mean something to us, God. We thank you. Amen. So as we sing, as we preach, and as we dance, and as we profess his name, let us also enter the act of worship and give up our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for what everyone has given to you this morning. Lord, we thank you for their generosity. And we know that what we give to you, we'll receive 100 times in heaven. May what is donated today to the Lord go towards your kingdom's work. May it bless and nourish those who require it. May it all be used in your name. Amen. So we're going to sing another song, and after this song, the kids may leave for Madhouse. And we pray, kids, that you experience God in a way you never have before this morning, because he's here to work with each and every single one of us, from the young to the old. Now, this song gets me excited every time. One of my favorite pieces. And just so you know, the speed does get faster and faster. And if anyone knows any dances, you know, don't be afraid. We're all family here. Let it out. Let it out. Graham? Kids may now leave. Let's all come to the time when we now pray for others. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord God, we bring all of our thoughts to you. We bring everything to you, Lord. Lord, I pray for the peninsula during the summer. With so many SU camps, season camps, and many various holiday Bible clubs going on, Lord. I ask that you bless the leaders in these, that they may stay energized, they may feel revitalized, Lord. But I also pray for the kids there, that as they come to these camps, to these days, to these nights, kids that may not have experienced you before, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will come upon them all, and they will proclaim the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for, let me get this right, Matt, Faith, Alex, and Josh, they head over again to Port Stewart for another CEF camp, Lord. I pray that they may be energized, Lord. We know that working with kids is tiring, and doing it for a whole week constantly, Lord, it can sometimes get to us. I just pray that they stay happy, Lord. That they know the reason they're there is to praise you and to tell the kids of your name. Lord, also pray for Zara as she goes to her SU camp. That the kids can see her energy and her love for Jesus, that it shines out of her. And it will go into them, Lord, that they can see it. And they want a bit of that, Lord. Lord, I pray for Saul as he goes away to Poland. Let every opportunity that he has be for you, Jesus. Let every opportunity that he has to preach your name, let it be done. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that we have to pray for each other. So we're going to do something different, Lord. If everyone could bow their heads, and we're just going to listen to what the Lord is going to say to us. And if everyone could pray for the person to their left. Now, if you're against the wall, you can turn over to your right. That's quite all right. You don't have to lay hands. You don't have to say out loud. You don't even have to ask them what it is that they want prayed for. But we're just going to wait for a few minutes, listen to God, and then we're just going to pray. So let us wait in silence. Let us listen to him. Let us pray for our neighbor. Lord God, I pray for this church. I pray that there is a revival of the Holy Spirit. That we give up our all and we follow him and we follow Jesus. That wherever you tell us to go, we go, Lord. We thank you for this church, for this meeting place. But Lord, we pray for those places that do not have the freedom to meet on a Sunday morning and to sing your name. That those who have to hide their faith with fear of death, Lord. There's a lot changing in our lands with various acts of terrorism, with persecution, Lord. So I just pray for Jesus, come across these lands. Come across, sweep through the nations, Lord. Because through you, great things can happen. And through you, Lord, great things will happen. Everything we pray for today, we thank you because we know you listen, Lord. We pray that we accept the answers that you give us. Amen. Right. So now the part we've all been waiting for. If everyone just keep their Bibles open on Matthew 19, 16. 987, if I remember correctly, page. Just as we go through, you can refer back to it. So, this morning, we're going to play with... Well, we'll ask a question first. Who here has a favorite thing? Who here owns something that is their prized possession that they never want to give up? Can I have some answers? Come on, don't be shy. Who? Your dogs? Not Lorraine, no? Anybody else? Graham, have you got a favorite thing? Come on, people. Grandchildren, who's where? I heard Ray somewhere. There she is. There she is. We'll go for one more. Up the turtle stuff? You should have went to the madhouse. Anyone at the top? James, your digger? Oh. Well, most of you here know me. Some of you may not. I may have some ideas of what my favorite possessions are. And my clicker isn't working, Philip. Is it good? It's good. Perfect. Right. So there's a few things people may think are my favorite things. My car. That thing gets me to A to B. That's about all it does. It's a pile of scrap. So no, that is not my favorite thing. No, I know. You're probably thinking my guitar. That one there. It's beautiful. I play at least once, twice a week. Does everything I need it to do. But it's not quite there either. No. Maybe. Get all sentimental. And it could be my friends. All you guys here. My family. No. No. It's not that either. And I would like to apologize to both Mila and my mother. Family and my girlfriend did not come into this one, so better luck next year. But for those of you who thought any of those were my favorite things, obviously don't know me too well, so maybe you should talk to me a bit more. I have one favorite thing in the whole world. One thing. Let's see if this works. Cheers. There he is. There he is. That's my boy. I've had him since he was 5 months old, and it was on Monday that he became 5 years old. There we are. That's actually him on his third birthday. Yes, we're the best of friends. He keeps me warm at night. We cuddle. We spoon. I tell him my secrets and things in my life that are going on, and he turns around and tells me his as well. It's a completely normal relationship. That's him on Monday. We went to the beach to celebrate his 5th birthday. What a guy. What a guy. Sorry I get very sentimental here, but may as well stick to this. But in the passage we just read, we have a young rich man, possibly the ruler of a synagogue or a certain area, and he has a favorite possession as well, and that simply is wealth. I have a favorite thing. You have a favorite thing. Graham didn't admit it, but I'm sure he has a favorite thing, and this man also has a favorite thing. So let's just start from the start of this passage. This passage is not a passage of miraculous sign that Jesus is proving his power. There are no Old Testament quotations telling us how Jesus has fulfilled the prophecies. No. This is plain and simply a dialogue between Jesus and a man who believes something we have all once believed and something we all fall victim to. Thinking that in a way, through the things we do, is how we're going to get to heaven, from being that good person. Now, from being at Bible college and studying, I found out that if we read these passages in context, if we read what's before and what's after, we can learn a lot more from it. It's like opening the 4th book of Harry Potter, or the 6th, and finding out Dumbledore's dead, and you're like, what's going on? You need to read the book before to find out why. In the previous chapter, we are told, in verse 3 and 4, that we'd have a childlike faith. It is realizing that we must have a dependency that the children have. Think about it. A child is dependent on their parents who feed them and clothe them and protect them, their guardians who do the exact same thing, their teachers who educate them, prepare them for life, their siblings who teach them to fight, and their granny and granddads who feed them some more, until they reach a certain age where they become dependent on themselves. Well, hopefully. But we are to be dependent to the will of God. We're to humble towards him. Also to say that we need him more than anything in the world. That is how we're to enter eternity with God. It's to sacrifice ourselves to him and to depend on him. Chapter 19, our passage, then explains to us why it is so hard to enter the kingdom of God. Now, last week, I witnessed childlike faith in action. I witnessed kids as young as 5 being more dependent on God than I've ever been my whole Christian life. I've witnessed kids of 8 years old leading a woman to Christ in the middle of the street. I saw kids praying for kids for healing. Kids praying for me for healing as I lost my voice. They just don't care, do they? They don't have the fear that we have as adults. They don't let pride get in the way. They just do. And that's the thing, adults. It's hard for us to have that childlike attitude when we believe we have it all. We have a car. May not be a good one. We have the money. We have the house, the job. I've worked hard for all of this. I'm not doing too badly. In our heads, we can say we need God. To people, we can say we need God. We can talk the talk happily. But in reality, you know, I'm paying the bills. I'm supporting my family. I'm cleaning the house. I don't need anyone. I've got to where I am right now by myself. Now, this isn't just the attitude of a single person. It's the attitude of many countries. And it's for this reason that the Christian church can sometimes struggle to grow in many areas. Do you know that the three countries in which Christianity is growing at its most rapid growth is Syria, Iraq, and China? Do we know why this is? Persecution. These people, these Christians, are under such persecution that they can't publicly profess their own faith to their best friend. These people, they are truly relying on God. They can't rely on themselves. They can't rely on other people. They're such fear, so they are truly relying on God. And what's happening? The church is booming. The church is growing. Many, many people are coming to salvation because people are fully relying on God. Then we have countries and areas like America, Britain, Europe, where the church is actually growing at an alarmingly small rate. Because we truly believe we can do everything. That on our own power, and not adhere to the childlike faith towards God. And yell out that He is our Father. And we yell out that we can't do anything without Him. We're not doing it. I truly believe if churches started doing this, we would see amazing things happen. We would see nations changed. We see people's lives turned around. The name of the Lord across the land. It's like the song by Blue Tree, God of the City. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. So it is hard for a rich man to enter heaven if we already and truly believe that we have everything we need here. That everything here is all we need in life. And the problem is realizing that we have a problem and we need the help. We're stubborn and we're prideful. Like imagine you were talking to a person who suffered from some form of addiction, but they truly believed that there was nothing wrong. And you're talking to them and trying to help them, but when they're listening to you, they just think, what you're saying to me doesn't matter. What you're saying to me doesn't count because there's nothing wrong with me. And that's what we do. We do have people tell us, but when we don't have that realization that something is wrong, nothing's going to do. Nothing's going to happen. And if I wasn't a Christian and I gambled, I would happily put 50 pence on the fact that people sitting here, right now, they're not realizing they need help. The rich man, in my opinion, is quite remarkable. Because even though he was young, now, back then, 40 was young, so there's a bit of hope for a few people here. But even though he was young, he approached Jesus. He approached him, knowing that he obeyed all of the commandments, as he said. And yet he knew somehow, be it a feeling inside or whatever, that he was missing something. And he came to seek it from Jesus. Though he wasn't happy with what he was told. He believed he was living the right life. He believed he was doing everything right. But he knew he was lacking something. But what he was told he couldn't accept. Give up it all and follow me. Sell everything you own and follow me. Doing something you really don't want to do and follow me. Now this guy was blameless. He'd done everything he was told and yet was missing something. I'm not saying he was sinless, but he obeyed to the best of his abilities to the commandments. Now, Jesus knew what was preventing this guy from entering the kingdom. It was the love of his possessions, his love of money, and his house. He has wealth that I'm sure he's put a lot of hard work into. gaining respect of the people above him, gaining the respect of the people below him. He had spent time and effort to be at the place where he is right now. And then God wants him to drop it all and follow him. Just sell it all and all his life earnings and work and just follow him. The rich young man can't accept this. He turns away and leaves. A sad thing about this story is that if we read it in Mark 10:17, it says something slightly different from the account that Matthew gave. Jesus looked at him and loved him. That's not often we hear this in the Bible. So this is quite significant that Jesus, knowing this man's wrongdoings as he approached him, looked at him with love. Jesus knew that this man loved things and put things before God, and yet he looked at him on love. He loved him dearly. And that goes as far as saying that Christ was sad that this man turned around and left after Christ offered him this gift. Now, Jesus isn't trying to kick everyone out of the running to come to the kingdom. He isn't saying all rich men are going to hell. He is saying we need to set our priorities. We need to get them straight. But he wants the people who are willing to give their 100%. Just like the rich man knew in his heart that he couldn't do and he wouldn't do. And maybe you're there this morning. Maybe you're the one who is blameless. Who of us go to church every Sunday morning and read our Bibles? Who of us protects our families and says grace at every mealtime and yet still feel like there's something missing in our lives? Still feel like we're longing for something more than we already have? Knowing that we have the part of us, it's just stopping us. It's a part of us stopping us from going to Christ. All I can say, and it's, some people say it's easier said than done, drop it and follow him. Give it up and follow him. Sell it all and follow him. We have so many lies, so many things in our lives that we prefer to God, that we put before him, that come to our mind first as we wake up and are in our mind as we go to bed. These things come before God. Well, again, all I can say is let it go. We are children of the Creator around us, the Savior of all mankind. And we put things in front of him. We all do it. Are we mad? This is the King, the Savior. You would not be sitting here right now if he did not put the breath in your lungs. And yet, something we all do, we put things, physical possessions, in front of us. We should be throwing everything at him, giving it all to him. But our pride and our nature, it can stop us from doing so. But what are you putting before God? Money, cars, homes, jobs, your lifestyle. It doesn't always have to be a physical possession. Addictions, alcohol, gambling, pornography, drugs. It could even be an emotion, putting fear before God. Like I've challenged myself this week. Am I putting the fear of seeking your approval on this sermon before the approval of God? And I could probably raise my hand and say, I probably did most of the time. Because that's what we do as humans. We are seeking each other's approval when we should be seeking the one true King's approval. Like I said, what we put before God isn't always something we can hold in our hands. It can be something we aren't fully giving to him. Things we aren't trusting him with. Family. I'm not saying sell your family and follow Jesus. If you do, that's nothing to do with me. But what I'm saying is surrender your family to God. Let him take control. Let him reign through your family. Let his spirit flow through your family. And allow yourselves to grow together in the spirit. Because God needs to be in the center of everything. I could list many things on what we put before God. But God knows your stuff. He wants you to get rid of this and to give him this. And we are scared that God, in the end, when we give him his stuff, won't give us good. That what we give him will end up bad for us. the things we surrender just won't do well for us, that our lives will change for the worst. What we give to him, God will make far, far better in the long run. Far, far better. This morning, there is a call that Jesus gives us. It's a call to discipleship. It's a call to complete surrender to him. Jesus wants to take it all. He wants to take it all. He wants you to let go of those things that you're holding back. See it like you're trying to hold on to rope. It's in your hands, but it's pulling away and it's burning you. That's sometimes the best thing to do at the end of the day is to let go. Once you let go of what you're holding and give it all to him, you'll be spending eternity with him. I think there's a beauty at the end of this passage because Peter talks to him. And he says, as the disciples have, they've given up everything to follow him. Because we truly believe we can do everything in our power. And not adhere to this childlike faith, but we give it all to him. And as Peter goes and says to him that we gave it all, which they did, they gave up their jobs. They gave up their income, their home. They gave it all up and followed Christ. And without Jesus sounding like some television evangelist, he tells him that whatever you give up for Christ, they will receive 100 times as much as they will inherit in life. They will 100 times more they will get in heaven for what they give up and give to Christ. Bam! Eternal life. We can get eternal life. Christ will give us 100 times more. He wants us to set our priorities straight. Why are we still holding back? Why are we refusing to let go? It's time to break the walls. It's time to break the chains. It's time to cancel out our stubbornness and our pride that resides within. It's time to give it all to Jesus. All to Jesus. Everything. We can't hold anything back anymore. Trust in him. He will take it. He will not reject it. And he will make it far better for you than what has ever been before. Maybe today is the day you speak to Jesus. Maybe today is the day you say, I quit playing games. I quit putting my needs first. I quit giving you my 10% and not my own 100%. I surrender all I have. I surrender all I've ever had. I surrender the things that I'm holding so tightly onto, I can't let go. I let go, Lord, and I surrender them to you. I follow you. This is something to be said to believers. This is also something to be said to non-believers. People who aren't Christians, who need to give Christ their all, and their all being their life. This morning is the time. It's not a, I have too many things to let go. It's not a, I'll wait till there's a more powerful sermon. No, it's not a, but guys, you just don't understand. And yeah, maybe we don't understand what's going on. Maybe we don't understand the things that are holding you back from the Lord. But I beg you, and I pray today, that you don't leave like that rich man left. He left sad. I can tell you now, at the end of the day, you're going to be feeling something in your lives that is missing. If you walk away, you're still going to be feeling that emptiness. It's not going to be filled. And that emptiness is Christ. This is what you've been searching for year to year. This is what brought you to this pew this morning. This is why you're sitting here right now. This is what brought you to listen to these words. This is what brought you to listen to the word of God when he says, I want all of you. Sell it all and follow me. He wants you. He doesn't want some of you. He doesn't want that part, you know, I'm not too bothered about this. Yeah, God, take that. But I'm going to keep this here for a rainy day. I'm going to keep this here for myself. But Lord, I insist, please, I'm so holy. You take this bit. I'm keeping this bit. No. He wants you to push it all through. He wants you to give everything up for him. He wants you, not some of you, but all of you. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to follow him. And I say today, anyone feeling like this, like to want to give their all to the Lord, we have a prayer ministry team. And they're here to pray for each and every single one of you. And you'll see them running about with their badges on. Approach them. Talk to them. They'll talk to you. And if you can't find them, speak to me. If you can't find me, we have a team of elders. Guys, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. There's so many people here you can talk to about giving it all to Jesus. And you can do it today. You can do it today. We need to let go to those things we're holding on to. We need to give it all to Jesus. Every single bit of it. I guess Jesus doesn't want part of you. Jesus wants all of you. Every single bit of your life, every single bit of your work, every single bit of you in school, every single bit of your family. He wants your heart. He wants it all. All I can say is it's time to break the walls. It's time to break the chains. We're no longer in chains. We are free in Christ Jesus. It's time to break that stubbornness and pride. It's time to give it all to Jesus. To give up everything and follow him. So my prayer is that we give up everything and follow him. As Christians, we give up everything and follow him. As people who do not know Jesus sitting in these pews this morning, that we give up our lives and we follow him. And it's not a straight path. It's not going to be bright and breezy from there out. It's going to be hard. But if we surrender ourselves to God and let him take control, if we empty ourselves and become vessels for him, he'll lead us. He'll lead us to where he wants us to go. Not where we believe we need to go. Not where we believe we're being told to go. He will lead us to where we're meant to go. And you'll be led to the kingdom. You'll be led to the kingdom. So I guess I was asking you, or you asked me directions to my house, and you're like, how do I get there? And I was like, guys, all you need to do is obey the laws of the road and you'll get to my house. There's a stop sign up there, make sure you stop. There's a giveaway. There's a traffic light. All you need to do is obey. You kind of be like, okay, I get told to obey the laws, the rules, but that's not really the directions to your house. And just like Jesus said to this man, who was following the rules and thought it was only the rules he had to follow to get there, like Jesus said to him, I'd say, right, hop in a car, I'll hop in a passenger seat, and I'll lead you. And that's what Jesus is saying. Hop in, I'll drive. We'll lead you to eternity. So that is my prayer, folks, today, that we give it all for him. Let us pray. Lord God, we give it all. We want you to have it all, Lord. And those things that we struggle to let go of, those things we struggle to give to you, I say this prayer right now in the name of Jesus. Let go. In the name of Jesus, give it all. Break these chains. Let go of this rope. In the name of Jesus, give it all to him. There's no point waiting, Lord. We just got to do it now. And we know once you take these things, Lord, once we give it all, that you'll care for it, that you will nourish us, that you will lead us. So I pray for everyone in this room to follow him, to follow Jesus. And Lord, I put it on everyone's heart that if they do not know Jesus, to go speak to one of the prayer ministry team. That if they're Christian and they're holding stuff back and they want to let go speak to someone. Even better, let go right now. Because we're praying to you. We're praying to you right now. And again, I say in the name of Jesus, we let go of our things. We take away that 10%, and we give you that 100%, Lord. That 100%, our whole lives. And we thank you for this opportunity to be able to follow you to eternity in heaven. To eternity with you, Lord. We thank you. Amen. We're to give our all to God because he gave his all for us. He died on the cross for us. So let us stand up and sing, Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Lord, once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life. Let's pour out our lives. Let's go in this week ahead. Praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.